Praise God. Sister Kathy's not with us today. She's in the hospital, and we need to keep her in prayer that she has a fast recovery.
Yes.
And, you know, we'll still be in Matthew, the 4th chapter, and I think we're going to go back over some of this first part of this that we went to about verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go back over a little bit of it. I just wanted to talk about some of it for a little bit.
Amen.
So, buddy, how about you leading us in prayer today, okay? Oh, I got you with a mouthful. Okay, that's all right.
I swallowed mine.
Right, you better have to, okay? Brenda, you go ahead.
Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the safe travel that you give to us each day, and also travel down here and all of our brothers and sisters that are traveling also.
Bless your name, Father.
We ask that you bless this sharing that we're doing right now as you speak forth and reveal yourself even to us and in us and through us even greater. So we thank you, Father,
Amen.
For gathering together.
Hallelujah.
And ask that you be in control, O God,
Amen.
And bless and speak, for we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I guess we're going to start reading. We'll start reading from the beginning again in the 4th chapter. I just want to go back over some of this stuff. And we'll just see what the Lord talks to us about. And one of you guys want to read out of the Amplified?
Okay, you want to start from the very beginning?
Yes.
Chapter 4?
Go to the 11th verse, you know.
Oh, the 11th?
All the way to the 11th verse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted and tested and tried by the devil. And he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are God's son, command these stones to be made loaves of bread." But he replied, "It has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on a turret, pinnacle, gable of the temple sanctuary. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, put yourself down, for it is written, you will get his angels charge over you, and they will bear you up on their hands, at least you strike your feet against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written also, you shall not test thoroughly or try exceedingly the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, the splendor, the magnificence, preeminence, and the excellency of them. And he said to him, "These things, all taken together, I will give you if you will prostrate yourself before me and do homage and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it has been written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil departed from him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, as I was reading, reading over this and thinking about this, I was thinking, there's a very big temptation in the world today, and it hits ministries, it hits everybody, of giving into the things of this world. You know, I was thinking, and I'm not trying, well, yes, I probably am trying to knock some ministries. That's what I'm going to say. But, the prosperity ministry that you hear out there today by a lot of these ministers, I believe that they've given themselves over to a certain extent of trying to receive all the things of the kingdoms of this world. You know, I was thinking about some different ministries that I've seen in times past, and you know, here you have Jesus, who was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He could have came in any form, any fashion. He could have came with royal robes and a crown on his head. He could have came in a lot of ways if he really wanted to do that, you know. But what did he come? He said he came to serve, not to be served. And he came with the heart of a servant. And I'm thinking, I hate to say this, but there's a lot of ministries today that they've lost that servant's heart. And it's all about people giving them. You know, I can remember hearing Benny Skinner say one time, you know, and I think this was fine what he said. He said he believed in giving and receiving, you know. He said, but he says, I give to get, to give, to get, to give, to get, to give, to get, you know. Mm-hmm. In other words, so he can give, so he has to give, you know what I mean. And when I look at some of the ministries that are out there today, I mean, they're living in houses that are kings would be glad to live in those houses, you know. Just absolute fantastic mansions and fantastic cars, and they brag about their wealth and stuff, and every daggone bit of that wealth came from some poor Christian person who gave to their ministry. And you know, I was watching this one minister one time, and he said that he had was inviting people up to give their offering, and he said people were coming up and they were putting their offering in the basket, and he said that this one minister came up, and he said the guy, you know, he talked to the guy a little bit, and he said the guy was a minister, and he said he felt like the Lord said, did you see his pants? And he thought, you know, he felt like the Lord spoke that to him, and he said, I said, yes, Lord, I saw his pants. He said, did you see how shiny they were? He said, you know, yes. In other words, they were shiny from being worn a lot. He said, did you see his shoes? And he said, the Lord spoke to him, said, did you see his shoes? And he said, yes, Lord. He said, I saw his shoes. He said, you see how scuffed up they were, and, you know, and all that? And he said, yes, Lord. And he said, and the Lord said to me, he loves me more than you. Mm-hmm. And he said, And he said that he went back to his hotel room after the service. And he said, I cried and cried and cried. Yeah. He said, because I realized, you know, it isn't in what you have, it's in what you give, mm-hmm. you know. And you know, so many times, you know, the prosperity gospel that's out there, it's just way off the mark, you know. I honestly believe that they've listened to that accuser of the brethren tell them that they deserve to have these mansions and everything that the world has, and they need, and you know what? It's just gone terribly awry. And some of them people have literally millions and millions and millions of dollars, you know. Then what the heck are they doing with it? Are they feeding the poor? Are they helping people? Are they creating other ministries or anything like that? I heard a minister say one time, somebody asked him about giving, and the guy says, well, the only ministry I give to is mine. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. Is that out of whack or not? You know what I mean? In other words, it's all about me. You know what I mean? And you know what? I think that's a stench in the nostrils of God when that happens. Yes. And some of these guys are going to have a rough time when the real knowledge of the Lord hits them and they realize what they've actually done. You know what I mean? And I have heard of a couple of them that have kind of backed off of that prosperity gospel a little bit, mm-hmm. to a certain extent. Because I heard another minister say that he was collecting an offering, and he said that these people come up and they were putting their money in a basket. This was a different guy. And he said, and I think a lot of times when they do that kind of thing, when they have you come up to the front of the church and put your money in, I honestly feel sometimes when they do that, they're trying to embarrass you. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you don't put anything in or put a little bit in, you know, it's going to look bad on you or something, that kind of thing. And he said that he was standing there, and he said this woman put in a Social Security check. It was a little woman. And he said, I thought, no, I can't let her do that, you know, because it was her Social Security check. And he said she wasn't well-dressed or anything. He said that's all she had, you know, he knew that. And he said, I told her, I took it out of there, and I said, no, no, you take this back. And she said, no, no. She said, the Lord told me to give that. And he said, no, no, you take it back. And then she started crying, and she said, no, the Lord told me to give that. And, you know, he said he realized that the Lord spoke to him a little bit later on and said, I'm going to allow millions of dollars to pass through your hands. He said, but that's where it's going to come from, people like that. And he said, and I just want, you know, basically the Lord was telling him, I want you to understand that you have a responsibility, basically, is what God was telling him. You know, you have a real responsibility. And, you know, I can say of the truth, usually, in most ministries, the people who have the least give the most. You know, remember when Jesus was standing one day and he was watching people put money in by the temple, he was watching them put money in. And this one little lady come by and she put in like one little coin, you know. And Jesus was marveling at that. And they said, well, why is that? He said, well, all of the rest of them have given some of their abundance.
Yeah.
He said, this lady has given all that she had.
Yeah.
You know, and I think so many times we have to realize that you know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to support ministries where ministers have a $20 million house or $30 million house. I'm just not going to support that, no matter what they say, you know. And they're going to have to somewhere account for that, you know, because they're getting it off the back of little people that have nothing, you know, because that's where a lot of that money comes from, you know. But I was just thinking about this, because here you have Jesus. He was being hit with this same attitude that was coming at him from Satan. You know, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all the...
He had all that.
Yeah, he knew. He had the reality. But there also was a part of the human nature that was in him, part of the human nature, that he could have said, man, I am hungry, you know. I could command these stones to be made bread, you know what I mean? And I mean, you know, when it says he was tempted in all points like as we are, was he tempted? Yeah. And was it to the point where, remember when Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me?
Mm-hmm.
And then how did the rest of that prayer go?
Nevertheless,
not what?
My will.
My will, but thine be done. See? Yes. So it was his will being opposed to that to a certain extent? Yes, it was. You know, because that human part of him was going through a lot of suffering. He knew he was going to go through a lot of suffering and all that stuff. So a lot of times we don't realize that when it says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, he really was tempted in all points, like as we are, you know. And he could have went the other way, you know, he could have. Because his natural will and his spiritual will, and I think there's always a little bit of a duality of nature in us, you know, and this, we have the same thing. There's times when you'll know you shouldn't do something, and guess what? You do it anyway. And I like the story that I seen one time about the Indian. They were talking to the Indian, and he said, this Indian, and he said he got saved, and he was just so happy, and everything went on so good, and all this and that. And then they asked him later on, he testified, he says, well, he says, I found out, he says, I got two dogs in me. He said, He said, one's a white dog, and one's a black dog. And he says, the one wants me to do all the right stuff, and he said, the other one don't. And he said, and there's a constant fight between the two of them, you know, and that's the thing that we have inside of us, of that dual nature, until we come to the place of singleness of I, you know, and we got to come there. And we should pray on a daily basis, Lord, help my eye be single, that my body will be full of light, you know. And, you know. But anyway, anybody got anything they want to say about any of that?
The one man that you said, well, God said he's going to let millions pass through his hands.
Yeah.
So that was not to and be that, used upon him.
That's good.
And yeah. For his ministry, for himself, for what. But it's going to pass through because that means it's being given out.
Right.
It's coming only to be given out.
That's right.
I remember once my son, Tobias, when he first got saved, first involved with this church, I forget the name of it. It's like international or whatever. And they actually wanted to pass out papers to the congregation, to their members, supposed to be members, that would have their salary, you know, their income, what they're paying out, what they're, because I went to church with her, down here in Canada. I said, and he, a couple of times, the second time I went, he said, are you coming down here to check us out? Because he knew Tobias was new with them.
Yeah.
And I said, I most certainly am. Because I was.
Yeah.
Because I said, this is a nice one. And if he was being deceived or what, I want to see what he was sitting under and what was, you know, being taught. Mm-hmm. And I told Tobias what he said. And I said, Mom, I'm not that dumb or that. When I looked at that and saw that, I knew, oh, this is not of God. This is not what he would have. I know, you know, and Tobias was always tied, the bleeding tie, you know that.
Right.
But he said, this here was just control.
Right.
And,
Well, see, you know, a lot of type ministries will actually come after you if you're not, you know, impressed. I mean, we don't talk about money around here. Mm-hmm. We just never have really done that much or anything. But a lot of them do that. And, boy, they'll send you letters and say you need to up your giving and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
My older brother, he was in a church in California. Mm-hmm. And I forget, I don't know the minister there or what, but, you know, he was all dressed nice and all this and that. He had a big congregation. Mm-hmm. And so my brother came in. I guess he must have heard about it, so he went there to see, you know, for himself. And he was sitting there for a while, and he said, oh, no, this minister. He got to leave. He went to the door, and this guy stepped in front of him. Mm-hmm. He says, sit back down. He said, oh, no, I'm leaving. Sit back down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you didn't care. He was worried about the look of him leaving, yeah.
He said, you ain't going to you. This over and you tithe or give money, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the first time and last time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, when Scripture says, by their fruits shall you know them, there can be people that's very gifted. And God does gift people. And some of the people have anointing to where, you know, God will do miraculous things through their ministry. Mm-hmm. But that's not how you're to judge them. You're to judge by their fruits. Mm-hmm. And if they're not showing love and forgiveness and compassion and meeting people's needs themselves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then, you know, you need to say, whoa, wait a minute, you know.
There's a lot of churches when I was in California that I belong to that TV, Turner Broadcasting Ministry. Yeah, they're just.
Yeah, TBN.
They were just for. See how many people they get in the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And they always wanted the money. The one I went to.
Yeah.
He talked about himself. Remember when the Lexus cars first came out? He said, oh, I wish I had a Lexus. about a month later, he probably got one. I don't know, it just, it was all about, really was all about him.
See, there's nothing wrong with money. You know, the scripture doesn't say that money is bad, but what it says is the love of money.
Yeah.
You know, and when you love something, then there's a problem. There's a real problem.
I think it was like, he was infatuated with this Korean minister that had 10,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said, well, I wish I could be like him and grow my church like that. And I'm thinking, why?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, nobody can get up to talk to you. And when the trip was over, people were going out the door. He went around to somebody, wanted to talk to him, would come up to him. And why would you have security into your church?
Yeah. Well, you know.
I wasn't fed there, and I got up and left.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
The very first verse of this chapter is kind of, I always think about it, and, you know, it seems like our nature does not accept that we can be tempted when by the will of God. Whenever we are in temptations, we always try like to find a way out from whatever we think this is the right way to go to get out the temptation, because
right.
We always attribute the temptation to the devil. We sometimes don't think that God can accept
right.
by the Holy Spirit that we enter in certain temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Because our nature is sinful, we always like want sometimes our ways and the highway, the easier way. That's what we actually like. We feel more comfortable with the easier thing. So when sometimes we get tempted, we always think that we are in the wrong place, and we do not always try to imitate Jesus by recognizing that we can live in this temptation to show God glory, to live, to pass the temptation and get into better place.
Mm-hmm.
We always think that it's a bad thing to be in difficult time, in hunger or in lack of means, or when we feel like disrespected, or maybe because the devil was tempting Jesus in I think in what the John the epistle of John first John says that this world is full of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the body, and the, I think it's John 2, 1 John 2,
the
15.
The eye and the pride
yes.
of life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So we are tempted through those things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, I think it would be 16. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So I always think about these things when I read here how we're not supposed, as the Bible said, to think all the time that when we are in difficult time that it is God tempting us, mm-hmm. to kind of prove us. But sometimes God can accept that we go through certain hard time in our life to kind of like purify us and make us strong.
Right.
But he can only do that if we are faithful to him, because when we are not strong, there is no reason for temptation, because we're gonna fail it. We are gonna fail it all the time. But remember Daniel, remember the three, Daniel when he was put in lion's dens.
Right.
God accepted that this thing happened to him because he knew that Daniel was gonna overcome that. And the three young men who were thrown in the fire, God accepted that they go through that because he knew that they were strong enough to go through that and let on to give God glory, more glory than they were giving God. Because all the country, or whatever, all the kingdom of Babylon, after they got through the fire, pretty much they almost like learn about God, about how God was powerful and able to be with his people in any situation.
Right.
But I always pray that when I am in temptation or hardship or whatever, that I do not think that it's a bad thing, or I have to find my possible quick, fastest way to get out of that, because that's what's naturally
right.
easy for us. We just kind of like try to get away from that, but it's sometimes God will that we go through whatever it is present to show the glory of God, to show that God
yes.
is not just God we believe, but he is able to be with us in any situation, and later on, God will get more glory than what we could offer before the temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I actually wanted to
yes.
say.
That's good. And in the beginning, like it says, he was guided and led
right.
by the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Right.
So it was God's will to
yeah.
take him
yeah.
his path
to it.
And
yes.
into that.
That's right.
And like you said, in that.
Well, see, a lot of times we have a tendency that
yeah.
we want to say the devil did this. The
exactly.
devil did that. You hear that more from Christian folks than you hear.
Exactly.
It's the devil, you know. And sometimes
yes.
they'll talk more about the devil than they do about the Lord, you know. And, you know, I love the book of Job, because the book of Job, it brings it into perspective. And let me read a little bit of this. It says, there was a certain man in Uz whose name was Job, and he was a man of perfect and upright, and one that feared God and ensued evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men in the East. So he was very, very wealthy, you know. Now I'm just going to jump on down here. It says, now there was a certain day when the sons of God came into the presence before the Lord, okay? And it says, and Satan came also among them. Now let me tell you what, any time that you try to get before the Lord, there's always gonna be something that tries to hinder you from doing that. Like even if you say, well, you know, I'm gonna go in the other room and I'm gonna pray, and I'm gonna spend an hour praying or whatever, you know. there'll be 900 things that'll go through your mind that you need to do.
That's right.
You didn't do this. You didn't wash the car. You didn't pay this bill. You didn't, you know, and it'll just boom, 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 boom. And there's always going to be something come against you. And it says, now, when the sons of God came in the presence of themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And that little accuser of the brethren is always right up here in your head all the time, see? And the Lord said, and the Lord, now listen to this, and the Lord said unto Satan, where comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And when he's talking about going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in the earth, he tries to walk up and down inside of you. Mm-hmm. Because you are the earth.
Yeah.
You were made out of earth, you know what I mean? And said, and the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, perfect, an upright man, one that fears God and ensues evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Hast thou blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in his land? But here's what he said. He said, but put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And you know, I'm going to tell you, I knew somebody one time that, and they had listened to Clarice's tapes. You know, I told you about Clarice before. And the Lord told Clarice one time that God would continue to bless her ministry, but if she really wanted to go on into the deeper things in him, he wanted her to give everything away. They were very wealthy. Give everything away. And she told George, her husband, she said, George, she said, God wants us to give it all away. Well, George was the one out there making the money. Sometimes when somebody comes and tells you, give it all away, and you're the one that's been out there working for it. He's telling her, he says, you sure you heard from God? and they gave it away. And, you know, she said, he asked the Lord, well, how should we give it away? And he said, the Lord said, run an ad in the paper. And said, they ran an ad in the paper, free stuff, come and get it. And she said that all the church folks came and got it. And if you're going to give it to anybody, give it to the church folks. You know what I mean? all the church folks came and got it. And she said her mother-in-law was standing there just crying. And you said, you're giving the baby's inheritance away and all this kind of stuff. And she said they had a friend that had a cabin out in the woods. And this cabin, they let them go stay there because they got rid of their house and everything. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. And they had airplanes and Lexuses and all that kind of stuff, and they got rid of it all. And anyway, she said after she got out in the woods out there, she said she got really angry, really mad at God because they didn't have nothing. And George got sick and he couldn't work. So she
so they became poor.
They were poor, yeah, they were poor. And she said, she and it was really funny. I'll let you guys listen to them tapes sometime. We'll have to do that, start doing that on some Saturday. They're hilarious. Mm-hmm. And God did some miraculous things in that ministry. But and I'm not judging her by what God did. I mean, some of these things are funny and they're really something. But anyway, she said that she didn't bathe. She didn't wash her hair. She wore an old house coat that was all crusted with food and everything. Mm-hmm. She said she looked like a wild woman. And she said, and even in the midst of all this, she said, every time I'd look out and I'd look at the trees and stuff, I'd feel like they were saying, ha, 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 ha. You know, we look what we did to you, you know, that kind of thing. And she said, but even in the midst of all that, she said they had a neighbor down the road somewhere. And this guy was drunk and down there shooting a gun and stuff. And she said, the Spirit of the Lord rose up in her. And she said, I went down there. And she says, I got all over him. And she said, I told him, give me that gun. She took the gun away from her. And she said, I told him, I believe she said, get out on your knees and pray with me, and you know, and all this kind of stuff. And she really just, it was actually hilarious what she said. But you know, she made him give his life to the Lord, I think, you know, is what it ended up being. But anyway, she said she went home and she's sleeping, and I can't tell a story like she dealt with, but I'm probably missing some things. But she went home and she was sleeping, and she said, and she felt like the Lord spoke to her and said, Clarice, will you marry me? And she said, I said, yes, Lord, I'll marry you. You know, and we're invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and it's not necessarily a day of that, but it's a relationship with God, see. And she said, I was laying there, and she says, I looked over at George, and the moon was shining on his face, and she said, I thought, how am I going to tell him that I'm going to marry Jesus? You know? Mm-hmm. And she said, all of a sudden he hopped up in the bed, and he said, Clarice, I don't need to make you mad, but I'm marrying Jesus. Because God had been dealing with him the same way. She said, then God sent them back out, you know, to minister after that. And she said he gave us back everything that we had before and more, you know. Mm. And she, but the funny thing about it is somebody that I knew listened to that, and the person that did told me, he said, God, this scares me to death, you know, because they had a lot of stuff, you know. And I thought, well, stuff is stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And but it's not that easy to let go of the things of the world. I mean, I can tell you that. But anyway, here you go on here with Job a little bit. I love this because it says, "Has thou made a hedge about him?" And you know, and it says, "And a hedge about him and his house and all about all he has on every side. Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." In other words, God let Satan come after Job. didn't make him come after him, but let him. Yeah, you know.
Yes. That's right. That's the difference.
There's a difference, yeah. And in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when all the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job, said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding besides them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another, said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep, and the servants consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there another also came of the Chaldeans, made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another. And thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And Job rose and rent his mantle, he rent his clothes, shaved his head, and fell upon the ground and worshiped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither." And the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, now listen to this, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Mm. Now, he knew God was in control, and that's more than most Christians know, yes. Because a lot of times they want to blame the devil, the devil, the devil. And he basically was saying, you know, that God was in control, and he knew it. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, perfect and upright, a man that fears God and ensues evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all a man hath he will give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the top of to the crown of his head. And he took him a pot shear, a broken piece of pot, and he scraped himself withal, and he sat among ashes. And here's the biggest kicker here. Then said his wife unto him, Doest thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Now this is supposed to be somebody that loves you. They're telling you, curse God and go ahead and die. But he said to her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord? Shall we also not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips? Wow.
He suffered more.
Then he had all his Job's comforters came around. They called him Job's comforters. They came to comfort him at first. And then after a while, they start telling him, Well, Job, you know, you really must have done something wrong.
Yes.
This stuff wouldn't be hit falling on you.
That's right.
And I tell you, that's that's the spirit of good and evil and good and bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Job hung right in there with them. But when you read the whole story about Job, you find out that Job retained his integrity. Now, let me tell you what. God don't want your integrity. He don't want your integrity. He don't want you to be in... to have a high integrity, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a high sense of self, is what that really mounts out to.
Yes.
He wants you to submit to him and to not think more highly of yourself than you ought to.
Yes.
Which Job was, he was defending himself. Well, you know, I've done this, I've done that, you know.
That's right.
And you know what? After Job had said, I had heard of you, later on in the book of Job, he said, I had heard of you with the hearing of the ear. He said, but behold, I've seen you.
Yeah.
And he realized that, and he repented. And when he repented, God restored him.
Yeah.
So even when you hear ministers get up and, oh, bless God, God just loves me, and he took care of me, and I'm the best there is, and all that stuff, be careful, because you're getting into a bad place when that happens. Because I tell you what, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And the more you confess your weakness and his strength, the more what will take place is his strength will be made perfect in your weakness. He will cause you to overcome. He will cause you to win a surpounding victory over whatever's going on. And it will be because of his strength, not because of your integrity or your anything else. And that's where a lot of times we have a problem. If we're not careful, we don't realize that this thing depends more on God than it does on us.
Yes.
It doesn't depend on us. It depends on us submitting ourselves and humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And in due season, he will exalt you. He will lift you up, you know.
In this introduction to the book of Job,
uh-huh.
The very last sentence that he was saying, says Job then acknowledges that our ability is limited, and that the purpose of God are beyond our comprehension.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And see, no matter what's happening in your life, I don't care what it is, if you'll acknowledge God in the middle of it, that's the key to everything. Acknowledging him, and even when you find yourself given into weaknesses or whatever, if you say, oh God, you know my heart, you know, you know, Dave, Look, David had committed adultery and sent the man out to be killed, and God called him a man after his own heart. But why was that? Because David didn't try to hide what he did. He would repent and he, what did he say to the Lord in Psalm 51? He said, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. God's the only one that can do that. You can't do that in your own strength. If you could, you wouldn't need him, you know.
Let me just read 1 Peter 4:19.
Okay.
It says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator.
Yeah.
So, there are, everybody might not be, but there are some people who are currently suffering according to the will of God.
That's true.
Yes.
It's a sad thing that many times everybody will attribute that to themselves, because they want to be maybe in bitter. What can I say? Like, they want to be bitter in front, in everybody's eyes. Mm-hmm. But anybody has given their life, truly given their life to God, to Jesus, some of the suffering they go through are according to the will of God. Mm-hmm. That's maybe hard to people to understand, but anybody who truly believes in Jesus, some of the suffering they go through are according to God's mm-hmm. will. And God's will is that after this suffering, that God would be given glory, because God would put us in a better place in to glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
After the suffering.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, the scripture says concerning Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we realize that he went through this, all of the sufferings that we're going through, he went through every temptation, but yet he went through them without sin. And we have a tendency that the word for sin comes from a Latin word that meant to miss the mark. You know, it's like a person shooting an arrow and they don't hit the target, you know. And you know, what do you do if you miss the mark? You pick up another arrow and you shoot again. And that's why we have to, when we find ourselves falling short, we have to not beat ourselves to death over it, but we have to confess and say, Lord, please forgive me, help me to go on and to overcome in this area. And you know, look at Paul. He said he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what the thorn was. It could have been a physical thing, it could have been a temptation, it could have been anything, and God purposely didn't let us know what it was. And he besought the Lord, what was it, three times, that he'd take that away. And what did the Lord say to him? My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. You know, and we have to realize that his grace is sufficient for us in every situation. And I love the Bible translation of the word grace, the Strong's, if you look at it, it means the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection into the life. So that's a great definition for grace, you know. And it has to reflect into our life from him, from the spirit within us, you know, and reflect out into the things that we do and say and stuff. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I guess next week we'll go a little farther and get on down through there a little bit.
That's right.
But I just felt like we needed to talk about that a little bit because, if we're not careful, sometimes we look at these ministries and they're making all these big claims about the amount of people they got and all this stuff. And I'll tell you, that's not no indication that God's with them. That's an indication that they've got a lot of people following them. And sometimes those people are worshiping that person more than they are God. And I think we all need to make sure we keep our eyes firmly planted on the Lord and not on ministries or ministers. You know, it says to give honor to whom honor is due. And the only one who, as far as I'm concerned, that's really due a lot of honor is Jesus Christ. Because he paid it all. He paid the debt.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Lately in, just one word, lately in, back in Africa, there is this thing that came recently, like, everybody wanna be apostles. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't wanna be pastors anymore. Mm-hmm. They wanna be apostles. And that's like a gift that didn't exist back in day. I didn't know any, growing up, I didn't know anybody by the title of apostle.
Yeah.
But nowadays, people don't want to be pastors anymore. They want to be apostles. And what I figured is when somebody gets that title of apostles, they pretty much kind of like untouchable. Like nobody, you know, they just up there and everybody else is here.
Right.
And it's a very sad time, but that's what's going on.
Well, the thing about the ministry of apostles, there's, you know, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. And they were all given for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
That's right.
And that literally means to build up the body of Christ, not to build up themselves with some big title or anything like that.
Yeah.
I had a brother one time give me a prophetic word years ago, and He was going on vacation, and he actually came back to the church when he was going on vacation, and he came in and he says, I feel like the Lord sent me back here to give you a prophetic word. And he gave me a prophetic word, and he said, you know, basically he told me that he felt like the Lord was calling me to be the apostle of this, you know, this small church or whatever. And I just basically, and when somebody tells you something like that, I just take it in and I say, okay, Lord, if whatever that means, you know, if it means anything, you got to bring it to fruition and stuff.
And he confirms it.
Yes, he did.
In a witness of two or three, he confirms it.
We'll see, and he does. And then that same person, I was with him years later, and I still had that tape, because they were taping the service then, and I still had the tape. And We was up at Doris Schwartz's up in Dayton, you know, and we're sitting there, and it was mainly just ministers, and actually Kelly Varner was up there, and a whole bunch of people was up there when we was up there.
Anywhere.
And what ended up happening, there was a guy sitting over on the end, and he looked over at me, and he says, you know you have the anointing of an apostle on you, don't you? And I said, well, yeah, I'll receive that, you know, because I did, I thought, well, that's okay, but that's just a title, that's nothing other than a servant, because Scripture says, he among you that would be great, let him be what?
That's right.
Servant of all.
That's
see?
Right.
And then, and unless you've got a servant's heart, any title or anything that somebody would put on you is absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
And that same person said to me on the way home, said, because I was riding with him, said to me, did you hear what that brother said about you? I said, yeah, I heard it. I mean, it didn't mean nothing to me other than the fact that, you know, the guy said it. I didn't know him. I'd never seen him before in my life. And he said, yeah, he called you, you know, that you had a anointing of apostle. And all apostles do, apostles are people who basically, like, help start other churches or help get the ministry going bigger. You know what I mean? I think we do that right through that right there. when we send out these tapes and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we might not never have a great crowd around here, but you know what? God's word never returns void, and anything that we share that's His word, that's His word. Mm-hmm. And I said to that brother, I said, well, I said, a certain brother came back to me one time and gave me, because he was kind of making light of that, you know what I mean? And I said, well, a certain brother came back to me one time and gave me the prophetic word. I said, I still got the tape. I said, would you like to listen to it? And it was that person. That was with me.
The one that
yeah, it was him. And, you know, I thought, okay.
And he was the one that first gave it to you.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, the ministries, the titles, they're really nothing other than, I mean, there's no ministry that's greater than another ministry. We're all called to be ministers unto God. And I tell you what did he say? Except you become a little child, you won't see the kingdom, you won't enter the kingdom. And until we all have that child attitude, that's what really matters, you know. What men call you or what they think you are doesn't make any difference. It's what God calls you, you know. And hopefully he'll call us all, this is my beloved servant in whom I'm well pleased, or my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That's what we all desire to have, hear him say, you know.
That's for sure.
But anyway, you want to close for us, Sean? How about you close for us?
Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this good time that you have given us here this morning. And I pray that you keep on teaching us all these things and give us strength to do your will.
Yes,
and I pray that that you help us and make us to practice and to go to do what you are teaching us,
yes,
not just to be the hearers, but to really do what you want,
Lord.
What are you telling us?
Lord,
I pray that you keep on being with us throughout the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Amen. Amen.